Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. And so, as always, I would like to start off by saying that Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, sexual orientations, religious backgrounds. Each week, we try to bring you an entertaining yet informative show, and I don't think tonight will be any different. So we're going to go ahead and introduce my co-host, Ms. Andra Wise-Brown, Life Strategist. You're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Guy. How are you this evening?
Cold, but yeah. Other than that.
But you know what? It's cold in Texas, but not as cold as you're used to in Chicago.
I know. But I haven't been in Chicago to deal with that cold in a long time. So this right here is cold. Like, my hands are still cold. And you from Jersey. Y'all get cold in Jersey.
You know, you're right. And I get exactly what you're saying. Not used to it anymore.
Right, not used to it anymore. But still, mm-hmm. Nonetheless, you know, probably by Saturday we'll be back in the 70s. So I'll look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring on Mr. Sean the Realist. How are you tonight?
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Guy, Dr. Wise Brown? I'm out in these streets, about to get to the house in a minute. And this is a very important time of the year.
You said it's a very important time of the year?
Yes.
What time is that?
A little bit of your game. So if it's snowing and it's cold, you got to get no guys to come out with it. You might not be able to
do it. Wait, Sean?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you have to repeat what you said, because I didn't hear anything after you said this is a very important time of the year.
Yes, I said if you're a woman and it's cold and snowing and you can't get no guy to come over, then you might not be as good as you think you are.
You know what? I cannot.
Why do I even ask? Why do I ask? Like, I thought he was going to say.
I'm just telling you, this is the time where you can test all those theories about how good you are and all of that. So if you keep calling and people ain't coming, then it ain't what you think it is.
Okay, so Andrea, all jokes aside, I honestly thought that when he said this is a very important time of the year, I was thinking, oh, yeah, it's almost the end of Black History Month, where we pay homage and celebrate all of these awesome African-Americans in history. And this joker just went left.
Hey, I'm just telling you, you know, ain't a lot of stuff open out here. There's like Buffalo Wild Wings, that's about it. I think Hooters open, but I'm just saying, if you're sitting there with your bottle of wine and you calling your little black book and nobody picking up the phone, then, like I said, you might not be who you think you are.
You know what? I think that's another show topic, a whole different show topic for us tonight. But
all right.
Hey, we are going to go ahead and get into tonight's show topic, and I do want to go back to that and say that we almost are out of the end of February, and so we do want to say that we are so grateful to all of those that came before us to allow us to do the things that we do today. And so even though February is Black History Month, we do know that we celebrate all of our African Americans 12 months, 365 days a year. So shout out to all of those amazing people and their accomplishments. Andre, you ready for this show topic?
Yes, yes, I am ready for this show topic. And I concur with the whole thing of lifting up our people. Like you said, it should be every day of the year, but actually, you know, shining a light on Black history for the month of February. I mean, mm-hmm. if that's what they give us, I'll take it. And so,
exactly.
So
I know. And, you know, what better time to celebrate Black History Month where we have our first African-American president? So sometimes I forget about that. Like, obviously, as much as we see him in the news, it still baffles me that we have our first African-American president. Like, it just it blows my mind because I never thought I would see that. But
well, actually, there were seven before that, if you believe some people, but that's another show too. And I want to take a second and, you know, honor Dr. Wise Brown, who's been in a relationship since Harriet Tubman has been freeing the slaves. Special shout out to her. You know, we want to pay homage to those who've been, you know, blazing the trail for us.
You know, the dinosaur,
you know,
time.
Definitely Dr. Wise Brown. Yes, yes. You know, back when you could walk around with a club, it was all good. Yeah.
Y'all are so silly. I'm not even going to say ignorant. I'm going to say silly. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to laugh at that. Touche.
Aww. I thought it was, you know, rather befitting.
Oh, okay. It's very condescending. You really, you don't believe that, do you? It was a way for the realist to get real and throw out there that I was a dinosaur. That
I'm just saying you've been out of the game longer than I've been in the game, probably.
Speaking of the game.
Okay, yes.
Speaking of the game, I think that is a segue into tonight's show topic. And so tonight our topic is office romance. Are they ever okay? And also, later on in the show, we want to ask some questions. Are there some signs that you can tell that maybe your mate is having an office romance that you don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
So we got a few things that we want to talk about tonight. Also, as a reminder to our listeners that are tuning in, if you have a comment, a question, or a concern at any time during the show, just press 1. We definitely want to hear from you guys. So I guess we need to just go ahead and get right into this whole topic about office romance and are they ever okay? Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my uncle was an old pimp, and he always told me, you know, never get your money the same place you get your honey. It just always ends there. So I have tried to adhere to those rules. Where I have never dated anybody at work, I have brought some dates to work, though.
Okay, so wait a minute, Sean. So just repeat that exactly, because I couldn't hear clearly. What was it that your, what's the quote that your father taught you?
Never get your money the same place as that you where you get your honey. So money and honey does not mix.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So the thing is that yes, I'm sure there are a lot of different opinions on this topic. And a lot of people may say that, as Sean, as you basically said with that little quote, I don't want to say that about what they say about dogs, but basically that you shouldn't date in the workplace, right? And there are so many different reasons that people can point to the fact that it wouldn't be beneficial to you if you date in the workplace, and one of them could be because, let's say, you start dating someone and it's all good and everything's going well. You come to work, you see them, you know, it's nice, you go to lunch, you go home, and so then when the relationship, and if the relationship is over, Well, so you can't just stop working, so you still have to see that person at work, and let's just say if they were to engage in other relationships, so it could just really cause a messy situation for you, not only personally, right, in your personal life, but also at work, and it could affect your work and your income. So in hearing that, and I just want to say this really quickly, so I do hear that, and I think that may be along the lines of what you're saying, Sean. However, research does prove that 1/3 of married couples have met at work. So
I was just about to go to that when it sounded like you described the negative sides of office romance and
mm-hmm.
all of the things that could possibly happen. And so there's an article. It was titled The State of Office Romance 2013, and it was a survey that was actually mm-hmm. posted by or done by Career Builder. And so of the individuals that they surveyed, they found that 39% of individuals reported that they had at least sometime in their career had an office romance, like mm-hmm. 39%. And so that's a pretty decent number.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reviewer of this particular article that said he believed that those numbers were actually underreported. And so he kind of mirrored the same study, looked at the, you know, similar population, and his results found that 59% of people reported that they had dated a colleague at least once during their career. So now we're talking about more than half of individuals have ever dated someone that they work with. So when you talk about the pros and cons, I'm wondering if the pros outweigh the cons, because 39% is a pretty decent number, but 59% is over half.
Right. Well, but I think let's take that a further step. So that's just speaking about dating, right? So we still don't
mm-hmm.
know what the outcome of that, what that looks like. We don't know what that looks like. Just because they've dated doesn't mean that it was positive, right? But that's why I just wanted to mention about the 1/3% of Americans, people in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
are married. They actually married. They found their spouses at the workplace, 1/3. So I do think that that is a positive, meaning that, you know, they ended up in long-term relationships.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that there definitely has to be some pros and cons to that. Now, for this particular study, their results show that 30% of the individuals who had office romances led to marriage. So that's not too bad, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about Sean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so I guess what we're saying is that the women should stop going to the club and just focus on going to work.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
If we could generate some numbers between, you know, who's met successfully and dated in a nightclub and gone on to marriage, I would be interested to see those numbers and how they would stack up against, you know, the marriage numbers from the office setting.
Well, since you mentioned that, now, again, this is just one particular study, but
mm-hmm.
it looked at the percentage of people and where they found their mates. So it said that 12% of people found their mates at a happy hour, or it said 12%
okay.
found their mates somewhere outside of work. So that could
okay.
have been anything, any place. And then another 12% reported that they found their mate at a happy hour event, which, you know, obviously
mm-hmm.
work-related after hours. Another 12% said they found their mate late nights at work. And then 11% said they bumped into their mate eating lunch somewhere. So.
Well, but you know what's interesting? When you just said 11%, I thought it was going to kind of coincide with a couple of studies that I saw. Because what came up for me when you said 11%, I remember reading a study where it said 11% of people have met their mates in churches.
You know what? We didn't even look at that. This study didn't even cover that category.
Yes. I mean, I looked at a few different studies, but yeah, one of them, when you said 11%, I was wondering, I wasn't keeping up with all your numbers, but when you, I just knew you were going to say church, but you didn't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, some people
well,
out
Wiseman,
here.
Where did you meet your mate, Dr. Wiseman? I'd be interested. You know, I would throw some jokes in there, but I'm just going to be serious this time. I'm not going to even.
Are you really being serious?
Yeah, if I wasn't, then I would have said something like, you know, the slave rally or something, but I'm just being serious.
Okay. Well, I met my mate through a mutual friend. And this was 24, 5 years ago, the dinosaur that I am. So it was actually through a mutual friend.
Right, because you were only four when you met him. So, you know,
there you go. Exactly. We were playing in a little sandbox.
Nap time and cookies, huh? Boy, I tell you.
Playing in the sandbox. Okay.
Yeah,
so, obviously, there's, again, we could probably pull up a gazillion articles that would kind of go back and forth with the pros and the cons about this whole office romance. And I was actually surprised to find out some of the advantages of office romance, because initially when, you know, the show topic came up, I was thinking, office romance, like that's something that never even crossed my mind, I guess, because I hear so many people discouraging office romance. Even employers are discouraging this from taking place, but obviously we know it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came across the advantages, I was really shocked by some of the ones that they reported takes place. So one of the ones that they said it energizes workplace morale. So they said there's something about watching people fall in love that makes other people feel positive as well. The attitudes of two people involved in a romantic relationship are often uplifting and become happier individuals, which reflects back on their attitudes toward their work and their coworkers.
I'm interested to see if anybody is on the line tonight that has some experience with some office romance that they like to share. All of my stories are more second party, so I can repeat them, but you know, it's not something that I can do. Like I said, I've had dates in my office with people who didn't work there, but I've never actually dated anybody that I worked with.
Yeah, that doesn't constitute office romance. That's just romance.
I mean,
in the office.
If you know what happened on that coffee, you might want to, you know, spray that bad boy.
TMI, Sean. TMI.
I'm just saying, it counts.
Right.
TMI.
Well, and you know what? That would be great, too, if someone who actually was on the line would raise their hand. What is it? And how do we do that, Dr. Guy? Did we click one, push
press one
on our phone? Okay. And so then it would be great if people could give their personal stories or personal accounts, if they have ever been in a relationship at work, you know, if there was good, if it was bad, do they have any regrets from it? But I will talk about a personal story. my mom and my stepdad, they met at the same space. So they worked at the same space. And you know what? You will hear this over and over again from a lot of older couples. So they actually met at their workspace, and they had been married for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and they both met at the same place. The same thing for, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Now, I don't know if a boomerang is going to come back from Sean, but the same thing for my husband's mom. Her and her husband, yep, they met at the workplace, and they've been married ever since. So,
but, you know, like when you think about where you spend the bulk of your time, you're spending anywhere from 8 12, maybe even 16 hours a day, depending on what your job is, at work. So when else, or, you know, when do you really find the time to socialize, to meet someone? You spend a lot of time at work. So that seems like that would be an ideal setting if you were to find someone that you're interested in. And if you work together, the probability is that you guys have similar interests. At least you have similar job interest. So to me, that seems like that would be a good place. It would be I would say it would be better than, you know, trying to pick up somebody at the bar, because at least you know they're employed.
Right, and that's what I was going to say. So you do know that, well, there is an indication of stability. There is an indication of some income, depending on where the place is, a good 401k, right? So there are some good some indications of some, you know, a potential mate, somebody who could be some of those things that are on your list.
Yeah, that list, again,
I was going to tell you, like, when I'm looking at somebody, I don't look at her and be like, she looks like she got a good 401k.
Because you're a man, you know, and men don't do those things.
That's right. That's
like,
right.
Man,
that's
look
because
at that 401k
man.
Walking down that hall.
Because you're a man.
But you look like
but I'm sure there's something else you're looking at walking down that hall.
Exactly. And as a woman, typically you're looking for someone with stability. And financial stability is probably number one on your list. If it's not number one, it's in your top five. So a decent 401k may be ideal for someone who's on the dating scene.
Well, I'd just like you to know, generally, you know, you got to wait a little while to get that unless they get fired. But you know.
Again, we're talking about stability, longevity. The idea is that whoever you're pursuing or in this maybe office romance with, they're climbing the corporate ladder, or at least they're, you know, potentially, or they have potential to do so. So there's not the idea that, oh, we work together today, but he might not be here in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, my best friend, he works with his wife, and they've been at the same company for, I want to say, about 7 years. So I'm familiar with it occurring, but he was employed there first, and then she came in after. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to kind of observe. They've been pretty stable. You know, I did have some friends in college that weren't able to make it work, and there were some human resource issues that came about because of that. But it's kind of interesting if you're talking about somebody who is more of a lateral peer or someone who's a supervisor, so that can be kind of tricky as well.
True. Now, they talked about the differences in dating and that, what was it? It looks like it was 29% of women were more likely to date their superiors than men. So maybe there are some gender differences when you talk about office romance, if you're willing to date a subordinate or not.
Right.
Well, maybe they don't care.
Well, and then you also know, I mean, you also have to take an account that at some places of business, it's not permitted. Because it could be seen as harassment. And we've spoken about this before. We've had shows about that before, workplace harassment. But depending on who you're dating and depending on the position you're in versus the position that the other person who you're trying to date or be in a relationship with. So it really can be tricky. I know that there are some companies that state that if you are dating an employee, because when you're filling out an application, you know, they will ask you, you know, do you know anyone who works for the company or, you know, has any affiliation to the company? And usually if you do, they'll have you maybe work in a different department because, now let's just talk about, so we've been talking about some positive points, right, about working together in the workplace. And I did bring up something earlier about if you break up in a relationship and then you have to go back to work the next day or if that your mate is dating someone else. But I think that there are some negatives to having a relationship in the workplace also.
Absolutely.
You guys, have you heard of any?
Initially when the topic came up, that was actually the only thing that came across my mind was the disadvantage. Like, I didn't even think about the advantages that supposedly are there when you date someone. And so one of the articles talked about how dating a coworker could threaten career advancement. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. I can see how that's possible. Or it could make work performance decline.
Yes.
Obviously, because if they're having, as you said, if they're having conflict with
yes.
each other, then it decreases their work performance and productivity because they're dealing with relational issues. But
yes.
then they also talk about how it could divide a work environment. So, you know, if they're together and let's say everybody, you know, they have mutual friends in the office, but now
mm-hmm.
they're arguing or they're at odds with each other. And so people in the office have to figure out, you know, is this personal? Is this office related? Do I talk to him? Do I not talk to her because I was friends with him before her or vice versa? So they just talked about how it can create coworker confusion, which those are obviously the first things that kind of came to my mind.
Yeah, and I do. I have an example of that, too, because I've worked with, I've shared an office office space with some with a couple who were in a relationship, and everything was, you know, great at one point. And then when they decided to break up, well, it just affected everything. Because not only did they decide to break up, but they were also going through a custody battle. So in going through the custody, and going through this custody battle, when if not one or the other of the couples would come into the office, well, sometimes they would, you know, kind of talk about some of the issues that they were having at home. Well, so let's say if one of the partners were talking to someone else, a colleague, if when the other partner would come in, that would they would start to feel a certain way, as if, you know, others were kind of ganging up on them, or if other people were talking. So then it just became a sense of one partner feeling more paranoid than others. Then when they went to court for the custody battle, depending on what was talked about, discussed in the office, they were pulling people out of the workplace to come and testify on either side of the custody battle. So it became a huge mess, and as you could imagine, a horrible workspace to work in. And this was due to them being in a relationship and being partners in this company.
Yeah, those are definitely the signs that I probably would have thought of, you know, the disadvantages from this whole office romance. I think what are you yesing about, Sean?
Well, I have a lot of experience. Like I said, it's never been me, but when I worked in Atlanta, worked for a couple that owned a mortgage company, and I did some of their bookkeeping. And I may have been a little bit younger and a little bit more rambunctious at that time, so I might have been on a few adult dating forums. So from time to time at work, I would log on and check and see if I had any messages. So ironically, I logged on, and there was already a name there, and it was the gentleman who I was working for. So, you know, he'd had his profile set up, and he was doing his little thing on the side, and it kind of bubbled over, and she kind of caught him, and, you know, I decided that might not be the best environment for me. And, you know, they were going through a little nasty breakup because he had been cheating, and, you know, she found some, you know, there's always an electronic trail. So she found the electronic trail, I'm assuming, that I found as well. So, you know, like I said, it can get hectic, so, you know.
Sean, you are giving us some really good segues tonight. So on that whole idea behind there's always an electronic trail, so the first question we wanted to pose is, you know, is workplace relationships, is it ever okay? Is it good or bad? And so we still want to hear your thoughts, if you guys have any comments or questions about that. But also the other question that we're asking is, if your spouse is having an office romance, can't even get it out, do you guys think that there are some warning signs, some red flags that go up that members or our callers need to pay attention to or watch out for, to let them know that potentially something may be up? And we definitely have callers on the line, so we want to hear from you guys, because if you were not the person who was in a relationship with someone who acted out or, you know, had some act of infidelity, then you were the person who was causing the act of infidelity. So that's our next topic question is, what are the warning signs to let you know that your mate – maybe having an office romance?
New panties.
Sean.
Yeah. Wow. When she didn't match her bra and panties, and now she matching all of a sudden, well, you need to worry about that.
Matching, you know, bra and panties is an indicator. Okay.
Yeah, if she used to wear yellow and blue and it didn't matter, but now she got on, you know, like the all nude set with the, you know, the garters. Now, yeah, you need to worry about that, homeboy. Yes, sir.
That is, Sean, I never know what to expect from you. I never know.
So how many women have you dated?
Absolutely, equivocally, I can tell you, hands down, big fat, zero.
All right, well, then I would have to be the subject matter authority on the phone, unless Dr. Wise Brown wants to throw her hat in the ring.
Okay, in regards to, no, I'm not going to let you be the authority as to women buying new underwear as an indication that they are cheating, because there could have been a sale at Victoria's Secret.
What I'm telling you is, there are so many other factors. What I'm telling you is, if she didn't used to care about her underwear, and now all of a sudden she does, that's the thing. I don't care where she at. Office romance, it might be the barber, the dude that get the mail. Man, you need to watch that. Watch that shit.
Okay. What about just the, I guess for me, there has to be something that starts it off. Like, what if your spouse, mate, significant other, now all of a sudden tells you he or she is working late when they normally didn't work late? Like, is that typically an indicator that, okay, maybe some red flags should go up? Now, don't get me wrong. If your mate is typically working 50 to 60 hours a week, then them working overtime isn't a red flag. But if this is, you know, the first time and now it becomes more of a pattern, I would think
it depends on the job. Like, I mean, if she's a nurse, then maybe so. But if
she's a nurse, this isn't the first time, though. If she's a nurse, this has been a previous pattern.
Yeah, well, I'm saying you have to look at the occupation, you know, like, but if she, you know, has a job that doesn't recall for that type of overtime, then you might want to look at that. So, you know, that's all I can really tell you without just being paranoid and suspicious and that.
Okay.
Being accusing people from the start.
And you know what? And so as we sit here, you don't know. And I don't even think that it would be fair for us to actually say personally, like, this is what you should look for, and this, because we aren't the experts on this, right? Because, I mean, there could be plenty of different reasons why someone is working late, or, you know, plenty of different reasons. And so I would not like to make anybody paranoid. However, what I did do was I went to, they have this service, right? It's a surveillance service. And this is a place that people have gone to when they suspect their mate with cheating. So it's kind of one of those investigative places that will investigate. And so they did give some signs of a cheating husband or wife. And some of them are, so can I name a few?
Definitely.
Opposed to us personally just coming up with things off of our head that we've heard or we've seen on movies?
No, I've lived that. I'm like, where you get them from? You know, that's new. I ain't never seen those before.
Okay.
Yes,
so listen,
I would like to hear what some of those signs are.
Let's see if you've lived some of these things, right? So let's just say these are some signs. So this is the question that they ask you. This is how they pull you in, is to hiring them to find out, to do some investigation, you know, as to if your mate is cheating. So if there's a sudden increase in the time away from home, so all of a sudden there's an increase in the time away from home. The next one is a decrease sexual interest with you.
She could be getting fat. She could be getting fat.
Okay. Another one was, okay, this is what they
say.
You're
so sexist, Sean. So sexist.
I said everybody
could be
getting
fat as well.
Good.
We're not just going to say
guy.
That.
I said
he could
everybody
be getting
could be
fat.
Getting fat.
He
okay.
could be not hitting the gym and not working out, and now he's unattractive.
Okay.
Okay. We'll go along with
all right. I'm going to go to the next one. Okay, so this is what they infer, that cheating spouses, they often are distracted and do a lot of daydreaming. So you're having conversation with your mate, and they're distracted and doing a lot of daydreaming.
Maybe they're just not talking about nothing. And for the first one, all you got to do is check the miles back and forth for the office. I done that before, too, in my younger days.
Okay, so listen to this one. A cheating husband or wife, they're often unavailable while at work. So you know how at one time you would actually call the job and they would always answer? But then all of a sudden when you can't find them, so every time you call and they just can never call you right back, or they're never answering. They said that's an indication.
Now, that one seems like that kind of also goes with the type of work that they're involved in. Yeah. You know, if it's seasonal work, maybe now, you know, they have more contracts or more responsibility versus, you know, their off season. So that one seems kind of iffy.
All right. What about this one? A cheating spouse always, they attend new functions outside of work. And they don't invite you.
You mean they're going on dates? That's what it's called. It's called a date.
So they have these workplace functions, and they're new functions, and they're outside of work, so they're not at the workplace, but it's supposedly, you know, from work, you know, mm-hmm. Tina from work or Joe from work, and you're not invited.
Right, because they're on a date, so I can't bring you on my date. This is not a threesome. This is a twosome. So I totally agree with that one. Absolutely.
Hey, well, and that's not fair. And so, but I'm not even going to challenge you on that. I'm going to go to the next one. And so, what is it? Oh, okay. So the cell phone calls from you from the other person they're not returned in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. They say cheating spouses leave the house, or go to other rooms when they talk on the telephone.
I'll go with that one.
Oh, you about to have somebody throwing books and pillows and things. Listen to this list, Andrea.
I'm just saying.
You know, when the phone ring and you got to go to the other room, I might. You know, and the new panties, that's a deficit.
So new panties, matching bra, and going to the other room. And then Dr.
Yeah.
Guy says when you're having lunches or dinners or...
That's a date.
And then the spouse is not, okay. All right.
Well, I mean, I know some people and, you know, although they love their husband, they really... You know, may not be too proud of him in a work setting. So, and a wife. So, I mean, that's 50-50. But, you know, like if you're at home, you know, I can kind of, you know, like I say, you know, I'm going with the new panties and leaving the room with the phone for 200.
Okay. Well, listen to this, showing the realist. So, cheating spouses, they use the computers alone and secretly.
Everybody,
but they're talking
yeah.
about this is work-related, this is work, this is Bill at work, or this is Stacy at work.
You know what? This is, you know, I digress all the time. And Sean, you might be able to answer this question, or even one of our callers. I am so baffled by the idea of somebody cheating on their mate using the internet and the cell phone as though they're not traceable.
And it happens all the time.
Please, somebody. You guys, we have listeners on. I want to know.
We all know it's traceable, but I just don't think you know how to trace it. I think that's the thing. Like I don't think that they believe that their mates are technically savvy enough to, you know, recreate the electronic trail.
Okay, or maybe trust them enough. Maybe they feel as though their mate trusts them, right? Like they're doing a great job at being deceptive. And so their mate doesn't distrust them where they would actually pick up their phone and use the phone and, you know, try to do the research, maybe.
I think it's three things. I think it's what I said, what Dr. Wise Brown, and also the subconscious, I want to get caught and I don't care, but I ain't going to tell you, and I want you to catch me.
Am I the only person that is baffled by that when you hear someone, because we have all heard it. I know we have all heard it. Someone you know, family member, friend, loved one, and when you ask them, how did you find out they were cheating, girl, or how did he do that, they will always, his cell phone, I saw the email messages. I don't understand that concept.
Well, Facebook. This is what I hear a lot in my office.
In my office,
I hear a lot about the password. They didn't close it out, and I went right on, and I went into, I don't even really know how it works.
Well, but I think that's it, too. Like, you think you're being slick because you don't know how it works. So if you don't know how it works, I think you feel like, well, she can't find me because, you know, I don't know how to hide it nowhere. You know, like, you know, if you're not from a technically savvy, you know, background, and you think because, you know, there's no way that you know how to do it. So if you can't catch him doing it, then you don't feel like, you know, you can get caught yourself. So, I mean, And there's other times, and this has happened to me, like I've been out with some friends, so I can imagine this happened to some married people as well, and someone has sent me a picture where I have been with some people, and it was not work appropriate, but, you know, like you really don't have a way to say, hey, send naked pictures from 2 to 4 only. Like, they just kind of come when they come.
Sean, that's a, you know what?
That's a problem, huh? I didn't even know that was an issue out here in this world. That's an
right.
issue?
Only send naked pictures from 2 to 4.
Well, don't get me wrong. I accept them at all times because I'm single, but, like, I can understand if it's a problem. Like, you know, it's managing your other situation, whether it's the pictures, whether it's the communication, you know, like, it's just, it's a whole other job, you know, actually.
Here's the one, Andre, did they have in there, because this is what I would say, again, this is just kind of off the top of my head, but there were a couple articles that talked about the whole act behind infidelity. And so it was a 10-year longitudinal study that looked at the reason for divorces, and I actually think it was longer than 10 years, but they kind of took it back to when initially divorces were because of irreconcilable differences. So now people, you know, we don't get along, or I don't like how he brushes his teeth, whatever the case may be, you can go to court and say, I want a divorce because of irreconcilable differences. And so sometime after 2005, more attorneys were saying that the reason for divorce was related to social media and acts of infidelity. So I'm thinking that when you're talking about what are some, like, warning flags or red flags that your mate may be having an office romance or just an outside romance, period, is that gut feeling. Like, isn't that kind of like the first inclination that you get that your mate is stepping out on you? It may not be an email. It may not be a phone. It may not be, you know, anything in his, you know, his work behavior that has changed, but you all of a sudden feel it. Like a tug, that something ain't right. Like it wakes you up in your sleep at night. If they didn't mention anything about the gut feeling.
Well, yeah, you know, that's how they started off. That's exactly how they started off. It said that men and women know when they feel suspicious. They said that's the first indication, is feeling suspicious, and so then that's when they create this list of things, I guess to. You know, to validate your suspicions about your spouse cheating. So that is the very first thing that they say they open up before they even create the list, is about your suspicions, which would be, right, you know, your belief, your gut. But you know what, in addition to that, I just wanted to see, there was one on this list, let me see. So, okay, attending the functions outside. It's funny because I did see, Sean, what you were saying about the mileage on the car. So it's saying that there's high mileage on the car when there shouldn't be high mileage on the car. That was interesting.
If it's 15 miles to work and you got 50 miles a day, you know.
Listen to this one. This says, the cheating spouse asks you about your schedule more often than usual. So they always want to know where you are.
Yeah, I got now, one. You're not going to like it, but, you know, we talk about my experience.
Go ahead.
It feels different.
Okay.
Yeah, it don't feel like it used to feel. It feels different. Feel like somebody be playing in my cookie jar. That's how I feel. I don't feel like my cookie jar.
And I so do not believe that. I do not believe that.
You serious? So everybody with a penis raise their hand on the phone.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Of course you can't. So you can't tell me what I know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So how many times have you had that experience? Because let me just say something to you. Your cookie jar could feel different for a lot of different reasons. Maybe your cookie jar needs to be cleaned out. I'm just saying. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to mean because somebody else is playing in your cookie jar.
Being that I played in more cookie jars than you, this happened to me twice. I know of.
Really?
Yeah.
And both those times, you were suspicious.
Somebody was playing in my cookie jar.
And that's what raised the suspicion.
Yeah, I was like, well, what is this? I was like, that ain't what it was Wednesday.
Wow, that's
I have no response. I can't say anything to that because obviously
well,
I'm not
well,
a fan with
male genitalia.
What I'm
saying is when you know your mate, then, you know, and maybe that's what you – when you resonate. I think that's something women have more of a power of deduction is that gut feeling. Like, you know, we are more, like, observant and like, well, she did this, you know, versus not that we don't have a gut, but it's just not as pronounced. So, you know, I need a little bit more tangible things and,
mm-hmm.
you know – although there are some tricks, you know, vinegar and some other stuff that you can do, but everybody doesn't know about that. So there, once you know your woman and you've been with her for a significant amount of time, you kind of pick up that awareness on what should happen and how it should be. And unless there's been some significant, you know, event or trauma, you know, you have an expectation of those things. So although you may not believe, that's fine. I'm just speaking for, you know, my personal experience, the things that I look for.
Well, that's interesting. That really is interesting. That is.
But he did say, Andrea, that it is when you are in tune with the person that you're in a relationship with. So
mm-hmm.
I think I can kind of see that making sense.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
and you
really
think that would be? Do you think that would be the same for the male?
I think for the male, it would probably look like the acts, the things that he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that would diminish, or it would change, or it wouldn't be
mm-hmm.
as intense, or something like that. So
right.
I think it would go both ways.
Or his verbiage, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Or some new style mm-hmm. that he just came up with.
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, people read, but it's still more about the connection that you all have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if, you know, you move to the left and she normally moves to the right and she goes up, you know, like, you know, you kind of know, you know, when something else is going on. And, you know, also you kind of have to look at just some basic things about dimensions and dynamics. Like, you know, if you are a, you know, longer guy and you're not that wide and it's suddenly feels real wide, and, you know, like, well, you go, like, well, what happened with that? So, you know, vaginas adjust to who they're with. So, you know, when you start, you know, doing other things that you don't normally do, then there's a change. Even, you know, you might not know it's more subconscious unless you have that much muscle control, which most people don't.
I think it's funny how we've spent probably the last 20 minutes talking about kind of the warning signs that your mate is, you know, having an outside romance or relationship. And, Andrea, you and I were, I think, very specific to, like, behaviors, things that they do, things that they say. It didn't even cross my mind to talk about, like, the physical aspect of it. So I think that's kind of one of those unique distinctions between men and women, how
mm-hmm.
it took Sean for us to say or to even hear, like, oh, really? I didn't think about that. Okay, the cookie jar is different. All right. Like, to me, my mind didn't go there to even think about that. But obviously, truly, that's a difference for how men process information and how women process information. Really completely different.
Well, not really. I think it's just you two, because I have some female friends that they look for physical, you know. Yeah, they looking for hair. They looking for any, you know, friction berms. If somebody has pubic hair, like, they get in deep. So I just think that it just may be y'all.
Or maybe it could just be the women that you're hanging with, your friends. I'm just saying,
well,
it could be, right? Let's open that up. The possibility
I would venture to say that we probably do not run in the same circle.
Exactly, because I'm not. Yeah, you are so right about that.
So,
nope.
You know,
not
being that,
that
you have, you know, graduated to, you know, marriage and whatnot, and I have not. So, the women that I date may be a little bit more, you know, skeptical, reluctant, you know, paranoid, you know, all of the above. So,
Wow, all of the above. Speaking of paranoid, Andre, you said one of the warning signs on there is knowing the person's schedule. I don't know if you guys remember a couple of weeks ago when Sizzle called in and Sizzle said she knows every single thing about her man's wife. She knows when she gets her hair done, what time she gets home from work. Like, she knows her entire schedule. So it's funny that apparently this is one of those red flags that they're talking about in that article, but Sizzle told us that a couple of weeks ago. Like, so if your mate is now probing more about your schedule and what you're doing, it may not be because he or she is so interested about your lifestyle. Maybe they're just trying to avoid, you know, bumping into you at the same place while they're on their date.
Well, maybe he's trying to get Sizzle to pay for your hair. I mean, you know, that happens too. It's amazing the things you hear in the barbershop. So.
You know what? We so need a male perspective on the show. That's why we have you, Sean. Because you say things that I never think about, for the most part. Never.
Well, yeah, I was talking to my friends. We were, you know, in the barbershop, and the guy came in, and he was discussing his dilemma for Valentine's Day that, you know, he had his side chick, and, you know, she wanted Valentine's Day. And he was like, you know, that's not available. And he was like, you know, but she wasn't taking no for answer. So, she put $2,000 in his account, you know, told him to go get his girl's hair done and make up an excuse and be with her. So that's what he did. So, you know, you out there spending, you know, the side chick money, and she paid basically for a Valentine's Day.
You know what? I don't even have a response to that one either. What about you, Andrea?
No, I don't. And I know we kind of went to the right because we started talking about workplace romances.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, you know, talking about, well, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And then I think, Dr. Guy, you kind of created a little twist by asking a question about workplace affairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did start off by saying that. Okay, and so then I know Sean the Realist, he took us all the way around the corner. He's given us a lot of insight on just, I guess, just infidelity. And, of course, I did have this list. So, I'm really just listening to Sean. Yeah, with no response to that last one, the barbershop story. I'm sure there are a lot of stories that go on in that barbershop.
I know. You remember when we did the research studies and we went to the barbershops to get the guys to participate?
Yes.
We might
yes.
need to, like, do that again just to get real info from men, like barbershop talk.
Yeah, well, yes. I think we should probably do a show from the barbershop.
I agree with you. I think we should do a show from the barbershop. That may be
clearly
a good idea.
You can't say which barbershop you're at.
Hey, we don't have to say the barbershop. It could be in a southwestern region. No names will be stated. Everyone can
no
have
names.
An alias. But we got some really good information when we went to the barbershop. Like, men seem to be honest, authentic, like, you know, no chaser. And so.
Yeah, so you start trying to record them.
No, we recorded and they knew that we were recording and they didn't have any problem being open.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Now, again, they didn't have to tell us who they were. You know, we weren't calling them by their names or anything like that. But, yeah, you can be Billy Joe and Bob. You can be whoever you want to be. But I do think that women talk all the time and women talk whenever. It doesn't matter. And so men hear women talk and what women opinions are. But I think it is rare that we honestly hear the truth from men, what their thoughts are, which is why we like your perspective, Sean, because you tell us what, as a male mind, this is what comes to your mind, which initially aren't the same things that come to our mind as women first. For the most part, there aren't.
Well, I think it's very important for women as they mature or get older or whatever word or term you want to use, you start to have a better understanding of the male mind. Because I think that's a lot of the problems that single women have, is that they still think, rather juvenile. Like, a lot of times as women, when you're younger, you really don't put a lot of stock into what men think because you are, in by large part, being pursued. But as you get older and, you know, you're not pursued as often, you need to take more stock. Well, actually, the game kind of flips around. Like, I went from chasing to now I get chased, which is terrible, but that's another story. So, you know, you kind of have to understand the animal that you're hunting. And I think that's kind of the difference between men and women, is that men kind of had that understanding and women don't. Like, you know, they want to sit inside until it's nice and warm outside and go hunt when it's nice and warm because it'll be comfortable for them. But, you know, if the fish don't bite, you know, in the middle of the day, they bite early in the morning. You got to go when the fish are biting. So I think that's part of the problem with women, is they don't have a good sound base of understanding the male mind.
I think I would first have to admit that as a woman, that I'm now the hunter and doing the chase. And I don't wrap my brain. I can't wrap my – I refuse, let me say that, to wrap my brain around that concept that I am now the one who is chasing. That doesn't work for me. So I guess to understand the male mind, if you're saying I would have to understand that concept, then that's going to be pretty difficult to do.
Well, I think that for those people who are in relationships and have that success, then that might not be the case for them. But for those people that are not, then that might be an option that they need to look at.
I can't even ask Andre that question.
Okay, and so while you're thinking of a question that you could ask Andrea, let me just tell you something. I want to tell you guys something else. Just trying to get back to the whole workplace and infidelity. And so there is this woman. Her name is Dr. Shirley Glass. She wrote a book that's called Not Just Friends. Mm-hmm. And what she basically, the premise of the book is that budding workplace relationships are the cause of infidelity. So the whole friendships at the workplace, basically, you know, becoming, you know, very friendly with people of opposite sex, you know, at the workplace is what has caused infidelity in people's relationships. So she basically, her premise is run from that whole, you know, this is just my friend, this is my workplace friend, we are just friends, always going to lunch, you know, with your friends at work, going out to lunch, I mean, to dinners, talking on the phones, sharing emails. What she's saying is that what needs to be done is there should be stronger boundaries set. Yeah, she did some research as to say that years ago there were more concrete boundaries between workmates and friendships. And so nowadays, you know, she says that there's a lot of infidelity due to these new friendships at work and there being no boundaries, no rigid boundaries.
I think, and that definitely should have been probably one of the questions that we posed, was when you're married and you have this friendship that is with a coworker. Like, the running joke now is that definitely I've heard is that he's my work husband or she's my work wife, and I don't know if heard that comment, but I think when you are already married, there probably should be some clearer boundaries than if you are single and now you have this relationship that you're willing to foster because you do see this person every day. You are spending 8 hours or more a day with them. You guys are doing, you know, business. It starts off as business luncheons and then maybe there's working dinners. And so as a single person, that looks different. Like, you probably are definitely more open to pursuing that relationship. But if you're married, it would seem like you should create those boundaries, but those are boundaries that the individual has to create for him or herself that I don't think takes place. So, unfortunately, you know, it leads to, you know, increased acts of infidelity. But
yeah,
unfortunately, you can't avoid it. It takes place. I think when we think about office romance, whether, you know, if you're single, the idea is that there are some pros and some cons. And if you're thinking about it, just kind of weigh your options. There are both two sides to it. Any last comments, Sean or Andrea?
If somebody calling somebody at work, your work wife or work husband, you got a problem already.
Andrea?
Well, and my whole thing is just thinking about the whole thing about being married and being in relationships in the workplace. I think just be careful and just think first. Just think first. Maybe you want to separate the two. Just think. Just think. That's what I think. I think you just have to process, think through everything before you make moves.
All right. You guys, if you're in the DFW area, be careful on the streets, and don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. Everybody have a good night.
Good night.
Watch out for the new panties and bras.
Bye.
Victoria's Secrets has a sale. Bye.
Exactly. Bye.